Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the old story. And Lord, it never wanes, it never fades. It is always fresh and it's always new to those who are looking at it through eyes enlightened by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that truth. And we thank you, Lord, as we look into your word today. And it is the old story. And we just pray that you would just bless us, Lord, in a mighty way, that our lives would be changed today through the preaching and hearing of your word, through the filling of your spirit, to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 So we've been looking at some people of the Bible, and I started out thinking, oh, this series would not be too bad and everything, but the more I got into it, the deeper I had to dig. And it's been such a blessing to my life to be able to look back on the people in the Bible and the people who God used to teach us lessons. And I've had many phone calls and people coming up to me saying that they too have been moved by the messages. So praise the Lord for that. But today we're looking at the rich fool. And my prayer is that we all pay attention to this picture that the Lord has painted for us here in this text, because this is a picture of reality. This is a parable, but this is a picture of reality. The truths that are given to us here aren't just some made-up story with a fictional character that we can tell, you know, just tell our kids about or read lightly. This is about the human stuff in our daily lives. This is about the real things. This is about the real happenings and events, the things that interest us. And he says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, this hits at the core of reality. This stories like this, they interest us. They draw our interest because this man is successful in what he has done. You know, it's natural for us to be interested in people who make a good go at life. Living, if we went about telling everybody how much of a failure we are and how bad things are, sooner or later you wouldn't have many people listening to you. Amen? That's just the way it is. We like the good news. People like to hear about those who have triumphed, those who speak in a manner that shows they have victory in their life. And the real truth is, as people, we are great success worshippers. And it's very nice to hear those people who are doing well. But we have a real shock in this story. We face a real shock. You see, what happens is God himself calls this man a fool. God himself, thou fool. Now that should shake us to the core, because that's quite harsh and it's shocking at the same time that God would say such a thing. Because to be called a fool is an insult. It's not something anyone would appreciate, that we wouldn't like to have that label upon our lives. It's just like someone shaking their fist in your face. It's offensive to say the least. You know, and as I was studying this, the Lord doesn't like us to say it. It was incredible. I was looking at this. He will not suffer us to use such sharp and cutting words. In fact, he forbids a believer under a harsh penalty to call a brother a fool. Matthew 5:22, Lord says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And who shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be danger of the council. But look what it says, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. So what a comment God has made to this rich man. Thou fool. But we have here a hard-working, successful farmer, and God himself labels him a fool. Now, the Lord's not doing it lightly. He's not doing it disrespectfully. But there's a sense there of a positive anger, and that should make it all the worse, because this is the anger of God's love. He's trying to get this man's attention. So why did he call this man a fool? Well, it couldn't have been because of the man himself, because he's proved himself to be very capable. He's a good farmer. And this farmer wouldn't have labeled himself a fool. The opposite is true. You know, the people who knew him, the people who probably worked the land next to him, the people in town, they would have not considered him to be a fool either. More than we would. He's a success in what he does, and there's nothing wrong with that. So why did God label this man with what you would call a very harsh and ugly name? Now, we know God loved the man because we're told in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So whosoever, God loves everybody. In fact, 1 John 4:14 is a blessed verse, and it's an easy one to teach your children. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. See, God loves all, rich or poor. And the reason this man was called a fool by God, do you want to know why God called him a fool? Because what else could he call him? It's the only name he can give him. It's the only name that fits this man. And thankful we should be that God did call this man a fool. We should be very thankful, unless we might have been tempted to see him in some other way. See, we might have called him a wise man, a prudent man. And you know what? The hounds of hell would have been rejoicing and happy if we did see him that way. But when we see this man as he really is, when we see him through spiritually enlightened eyes, through the eyes of the Lord who sees all things clearly, then we realize the only name that fits this man, God has given to him. Thou fool. Why is he a fool? What makes him a fool? As we said, it can't be because he's successful or rich. Now, the Bible doesn't condemn those things at all. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. What the Bible does do, though, is points to the danger that comes with riches. And the fact the rich man is greatly tempted, and they are, but they're not condemned just for being rich. Riches are neither good or bad, they're neither moral or immoral, but the Bible recognizes money as a real force. And what is done with it depends on the one who controls it. Riches can be a bit like having a money tree. Every time you take some money off the tree, more money sprouts out. And the tree replaces it with more. And it can be the making of men or women, or it can be the ruin of them. You see, if I live for myself, then a money tree will help me fulfill my selfish desires. I could have a summer home, I could have a winter home, I could have abundant possessions stored away. I could have the best of everything. It would also assist me in disregarding the rights of others if I used it wrongly. You know, I could walk over anybody just to get to the top. See, it can be the making of men and women or the ruin of them. Yet if I'm a good man or if I'm a good woman, I might use the trees to do good things, to help the underdog, to help the oppressed, the needy, could build churches and support missions. This money tree could help to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, God didn't call this rich man a fool because he's got his wealth dishonestly either. And those who get their money dishonestly are called fools by God. Jeremiah 17:11 says, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." But this man, he's made his money in what is a hard-working, honest, upright way. He is working the land. In verse 16, the Lord says he spoke a parable on the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. See, good old-fashioned hard work. That's how this man made his money. There's nothing wrong with that. It reminded me of my working life, being in old gardens and big properties. You took care of the land, you fixed the fences, you moved the stock around, you tended the gardens. And it was wonderful. You finished the end of the day and you felt so satisfied because you'd worked hard and it was a good, clean living. So this man wasn't a fool also because he wasted his money either. You know, wastefulness is wickedness. Look at the prodigal son. What was his sin? Luke 15:13, he wasted his substance with riotous living. He just wasted everything he had. You see, he had treasure and he spent it all on having a good time. He spent it all in the moment, and in the end he had nothing to show for it. And many, many people end up that way. The charge may not be because of sinful wickedness, but life has not been invested in the proper way. Do you know, it's interesting when you think of this, you know, that God has not lost one grain of sand or one drop of water since the day he created this earth. Isn't that incredible? That just blows your mind. You know, we may have squandered ourselves of things without much value, and God may be speaking to us today as he's spoken hundreds of years ago. Isaiah 55:2, he says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." You know, it's interesting, Jesus himself in John 6:12, after the feeding of the multitude, he said to his disciples, he says, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Now, why did God label this man, "Thou fool"? Well, his foolishness was in the fact that he was a practical atheist. In other words, he lived life as if the truth of God was a lie. This man, no doubt, if you think about it, would not claim to be an atheist. I have no doubt also that he might have been a Jew. Jesus is using him as an illustration to the disciples. He's warning them not to trust in riches. Here's a man, maybe, who goes to the synagogue every day, visits the temple every Sabbath, but he's a practical atheist. And that's true of many believers, many Christians. They come to church each Sunday. They say the right things. They recite the right words. Their readings profess. They know the Bible. They're professing Christians. But in all reality, they're practicing atheists. How can we know this man was like that? Well, we can hear his thinking. Isn't that amazing? We can hear people's thinking in the Bible. And he thought within himself, verse 17, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." Here we go. Here's the real colours. They're coming out. You can always, you can't always tell what's in a person by how they look. See, they may come looking like a beautiful flower that's just bloomed, but deep within inside, there's a viper. They smile with an agenda. They shed crocodile tears when they need to. They also give to be seen of men. But when the surface is scratched a little bit, when the facades are taken away, the truth comes forth. And as one man of old time said, tell me, man, what you are within yourself, and I will tell you what you are. Now, Proverbs 23:7 reminds us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what did this man think? Look at verse 18. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You see, the outer layer has been pulled away now. We see this man for what he is, his thoughts. There's no thought of God. None at all. God's completely ignored, and those who think without God in the picture are fools. He's lost all sense of divine ownership. So he thinks because he possesses a farm, he thinks he owns the farm. And those two things, possession and ownership, mean the exact same thing to somebody who ignores God's ownership over their life. It means exactly the same thing. You begin to ignore God and everything you've got is yours. And he's using the language of an atheist. Me, mine, my, I. It's the only language he knows. His speech is the speech of a fool. His ears don't hear when God speaks to him. See, the word's his, the word her, the word yours are not found in a fool's language. You see, the word his are words of faith. They recognize and they proclaim 1 Corinthians 10:26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It believes the real truth of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The moment we think we own what we have, we ignore God and we are a fool. Not even one amen. That's a sad thing, brothers and sisters. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to promote the gospel. Amen? Amen? Anyone, anywhere who claims that their home, their vehicle, their possessions, their bank account, their farm, even themselves belong to themselves, are leaving God out, and they are a fool. It is not the talk of the wise. It is the language of a fool. By reckoning without God, this farmer's attitude of possessing and owning and belonging to him has robbed him of something so precious to our great God and Saviour, and that's our gratitude and thankfulness to him for all that he has let us have and use for his glory. Here he is, an abundant harvest, prospering wonderfully, but leaving God out of the whole thing. That only leads to one thing, brothers and sisters. Thank you. I'm a good man. I've done it all. He has no thought of taking his old tired soul and giving it a shake up with the wisdom of Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This man's forgotten the Lord. He has not given the Lord any say or part in the prosperity the Lord has poured out upon him. And there are so many just like him today. A pastor once had reminded a very wealthy man of how the Lord had blessed him, and the man replied, "Yeah, but I was there." I talked with a pastor maybe a year and a half ago, and he said, "It was my hands who built this church." They're exact words. "It was my hands that brought this all together." What blasphemy! What a disgrace for anyone to utter such words. "My hands have done it all," and you leave the hands of God out of our lives. I, me, mine. What that man really meant was, is the Lord had nothing to do with it, and I myself did it. All on my own. They're the people who say, "If the Lord hadn't have made the world, I would have." Amen. So why should I be thankful? You see, the man with no gratitude to God, the man who's not on his knees thanking God for even the last breath he took, is a fool. And he's a fool because when a person thinks right, when a person is seeing things through God's eyes, looking beyond what we can see to what God sees, that always leads to being thankful. The only kind of thinking that does not do that is one of a professing Christian who is a practicing atheist. And that's if they're a Christian at all. And they are a fool. And the farmer in our text had no sense of obligation. You know, but what else can one expect when God's left out? Now, we had another man in the Bible. He's looking out on the same world that this farmer was. And he says in Romans 1:14, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Say, why does Paul say that? Because he believes in his God. He's not trying to do it himself. He's not trying to build up his own bank account for his own glory. He believes in his God. And because he believes in his God, that God has blessed him and saved him with such a wonderful salvation, because of that, he is under obligation to preach that same gospel to all, the same gospel that saved him. He wants others to share in it. You want the blessing of God upon your life? Get on your knees and thank him. Get on your knees and say, "God, not one of these things are mine. They are yours. What do you want me to do with them for your glory?" See, only the fool thanks himself for all he has. And because of that, he has a right to use all he has as it pleases him. See, this man is simply telling us in unmistakable language, he's a fool. Lastly, he shows himself a fool by how he placed confidence in these things. Do you know when God is left out, and this is what he's done, he's left God out, so when God is left out, he had to find a substitute for God. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. Leave God out, you've got to fill it with something else. And his substitute was his abundant harvest. And this man would treat his, listen, you have a look at this, he treats his soul like it's immortal. Look in verse 19. "I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." He thinks he's got all the time in the world. "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Have there ever been such foolish words? And it's easy to see, well, his soul hasn't done too well up to this time. It's easy to see that his moral nature has been starved and it's been stunted of spiritual food and spiritual fruit. And when that's the case, you don't grow spiritually. See, it's easy to see all he has gotten. Think about this. All he has gotten has never, ever satisfied him in the past. And let me tell you something, it'll never satisfy him in the future. He's expecting it to, but it won't. And surely we can see now that the man or woman who forgets God, who turns the worship of things into their God, is nothing but a fool. So we see why God saw this rich farmer as a fool. Because he started reckoning without God, which is in reality in his heart saying, there is no God, I'm God. He has gone wrong in every part, in the very being of his nature, and he turned to possessions to satisfy his soul. He received them without gratitude. He held on to them with no sense of obligation because he thought they were his and that he was the one who got them on his own. Now God, and so we don't get, how would I put it? I want to be nice. I don't like that word very much. So we don't gird up ourselves and thank God we're not like this man. That's how I'll put it. God forces a home truth into our hearts. Look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You see, the man or woman today who reckons without God, who leaves God out, who lives only for themselves, is the same kind of fool and just as big a fool as this rich farmer was. And if you and I are living our lives in selfishness, and listen carefully, however respectful that selfishness may be, then we're no different. We are just the same and just as great a fool as this rich man was. And the tragedy of this rich man's life was his foolishness was his choice. He chose it. His riches, listen, they could have been a blessing to him. They could have been a blessing for all eternity. And even though he was rich with the world's goods, he could have been also rich in the truest sense with God. He could have used it for the usefulness of God's kingdom. But he chose to ignore God, and in doing so, he robbed himself. And we have here in the eternal word of God, he is known as a fool forever. Forever. And don't ever forget that you and I could easily make the same error. And the only way we won't is if we go right where he went wrong. You see, there's a road to spiritual richness. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See, this isn't the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. This isn't a health, wealth, or prosperity gospel either. Now I can show you how and where to get this treasure. Romans 6:13. Says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
that surrender, brothers and sisters. Remember Jonah? He ran away from the Lord, didn't he? He got it all wrong. But this is our first duty, is to give ourselves over to Him. To recognize that every single thing we have, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our husbands, our homes, our money, our vehicles, everything is either His and we'll be spiritually blessed for it, or they're ours and God labels us our fool. See, this, the highest wisdom is to recognize God as full and complete owner of ourselves. Full and complete. Secondly, reckoning Him as a full owner of everything we possess. All of it. Give all to Him and He will give all to you. We're told, Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? See, this treasure is immeasurable. This treasure is eternal. It'll never be lost. You see, God, who's rich in His mercy, He spared nothing. Nothing to win the souls of men back. Men who have just denied Him and rebelled against Him. Men who spat in His face. Men who plucked the beard out of His face. He spared nothing to win their souls. He provided the best, His own Son. Heaven was emptied of God's best. God gave all, His whole being, His whole possession, everything. He spared not His own Son. And that's the price. And only God could pay it. And after He's given His own Son, is God then going to keep the rest back from us? Is He going to do that? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You see, all other riches, all other gifts, compared with the gift that God gave us, are small. But they're included in it. See, in Christ, all things are ours. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and ye are Christ and Christ is God. You see, all you and I need, these riches, are found only in Christ. Thank God that Jesus said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, the gifts, all the gifts we need, all our physical gifts, all our spiritual gifts, all our financial, all our emotional gifts are supplied in Him. Now, those gifts are what everyone wants. Everyone wants to feel right. Everyone wants to feel filled and satisfied. They want to know that fullness of God. If He's left out, how can they be? We can't. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. See, wise people are rich in that way, towards God. One is to be rich in the spiritual things, the lasting things, opposed to the material which is not going to last. You know that faith lasts, good works last. Faith and in Christ enriches us. You see, what a wonderful gift it is to be able to forgive somebody. What a wonderful gift it is to know that peace that passes all understanding, no matter what you're going through. What a wonderful gift it is to know about the holiness of God that keeps us clean as we walk in godliness to his glory of his name. And we should be grateful for these blessings. And we should really want them. Really want them. And we should be willing to put God first before our possessions. We need to empty ourselves of anything that takes the place of these spiritual blessings. We've got to empty ourselves of ourselves. That means our pride, our greed, our knowledge. The list could go on, and be filled with the riches of God. And just to finish, I'll read some verses again. Let's all read it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. We all there, amen. Thus saith the Lord, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from such a simple passage of Scripture, the depth of knowledge that you impart to us. And we pray, Lord, that we just don't treat this as another story and go home and let it go, but we hang on to it, because, Lord, everything we need is found in Christ Jesus. They are the riches we should be storing up. Lord, help us to look at our lives, all of us, Lord, and see just where the riches of this world have got a foothold. And that we hand them over to you. And we allow you to use us for your glory. And we recognize, Lord, the price paid for our home in heaven. Father, we thank you again for today. And we just ask for your blessing upon the rest of the day, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.